Hello there, and welcome to episode 12 of AWIN Talks, the industry's only regular look at the affiliate channel from a network perspective. Rob is taking a break for the next couple of episodes, so for those of you expecting his dulcet tones, you'll have to make do with mine for the next couple of months. I'm not going it alone, though. Craig is back again. Hi, Craig. How's your month been?
Pretty good, yeah. I mean, well, average at best.
Oh, really? That's positive for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose I've been away quite a bit. It's been wedding season, so I've had to do loads of weddings recently.
Expensive.
Yeah, I need to get another suit as well, because all my wedding pictures basically just have me in one suit that has loads of like variants. Change one element of it and it looks different. So that's my new objective, get a new suit.
Excellent. Yeah. Nothing work related of any interest?
I went to the Milan office to do some training.
Go well?
Yeah, it went well. Yeah, it's really good over there.
Regular listeners will know that Craig hosts our publisher pick slot, but this month we're having a bit of a hiatus of our focus on up-and-coming affiliates. But don't worry, we will be back with that in forthcoming episodes. Coming up today instead, we have a roundup of a couple of stories making the news in the affiliate world, and I'll be chatting to Craig about how AWIN is evolving, how we use client data to optimize affiliate campaigns and drive additional insights. Also, some of you may have seen in recent industry press that AWIN has announced a strategic partnership with the award-winning multi-touch attribution platform SingleView. If you were wondering exactly what SingleView does and how it works, then today's episode will help to shed some light on that. We'll be interviewing Mark Curlow, who's the CEO of ROI, the Manchester-based agency behind SingleView, and he'll be on hand to explain the mechanics behind the platform, share some insights from clients who've already started using it, and discussing what the attribution model tells us about the value that affiliates drive. Before that, let's have a quick roundup on a couple of topics that we've been focusing on here at AWIN Towers. And actually, this one's kind of hot off the presses, really. It's a landmark ruling that we've been waiting for that has just been issued by the European Court of Justice involving Facebook and GDPR. Now, the case was brought by a German consumer rights group against fashion retailer Fashion ID and their use of Facebook's like button on their website. Now, when consumers clicked on the like button, the retailer stored data that is now classified as personally identifiable, IP address, cookies, etc. Now, many sites make use of this feature and other similar plugins. I think that in some evidence that was given by Facebook to a House of Commons select committee, there was something like 8 million websites in the space of a week in the UK have similar plugins. LinkedIn, Twitter, the same principle applies. So the ruling has ramifications that reach far and wide and could impact millions of websites. The court ruled that any company or business using these features is jointly responsible with Facebook for the processing of that data as it initially happens and therefore must obtain consent from visitors prior to that data being transferred to Facebook, or if not using consent as a legal basis for the processing of that data, be able to fulfill an alternative legal basis such as legitimate interest. So one of the reasons this is important is that many companies have these plugins embedded in their sites without any notification about what the implications are when consumers click on them. There's also wider ramifications outside of the auspices of Facebook. Broadly, the court confirms the joint responsibility of several actors for the processing. By embedding on its website the Facebook like button, Fashion ID appears to have made it possible for Facebook to obtain personal data of visitors and as such should be considered a controller for the collection and disclosure to Facebook. Now for AWIN, we believe this decision is in line with our company position, whereby publishers and advertisers are considered joint controllers by determining the purpose of the processing for, in this case, a joint commercial advantage. So we'll be following up on this landmark ruling with a blog post shortly, where we'll also address the differences between affiliate tracking and the Facebook like button. So keep an eye on the AWIN site for more information. And incidentally, which I thought was, well, it's not amusing, it's kind of a bit depressing really, but this story also underlines just how under the microscope Facebook is, but also how resilient the company is, having recently been issued with a $5 billion fine by the FTC in the US related to the Cambridge Analytica scandal. But that didn't really seem to have much impact. In fact, it had a positive impact because whether Whether the markets were expecting a bigger fine than that, I don't know, but the company's share price actually rose nearly 2% on news of that $5 billion fine.
I suppose it the question is as well, it's not necessarily around the share price of this, it's more around whether or not consumers react to these kinds of stories. And actually, so far, I don't think that there has been much of a backlash. What you would expect for something like Cambridge Analytica to come out, Facebook, you know, hasn't. I mean, it saw a decline in usership, but then there were other reasons behind that as well, mainly, you know, around competition and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it's telling that we haven't seen too much of a difference in their outlook.
Perhaps it's more of a dislocation between brands spending all of this money, because essentially that's where Facebook's getting their money from. They're getting it from advertisers spending on their sites, and those advertisers being concerned about how consumers' data is being used. And ultimately, you know, we're seeing a huge amount of regulatory pressure coming, and all of these rulings, and they will continue to come. So there will be a perfect storm at some point. But yeah, that's definitely one that is going to be interesting to watch. So before we come on to talk to Craig a little bit more about some of the data projects that he's been working on, I just wanted to have a very quick shout out around anyone looking to raise their profile and talk about some of the great work they've been doing. So hopefully you're aware of PI Live, which is one of the key affiliate and performance marketing events in the marketing calendar, back again this year in October. And I'm lucky enough to be a member of the advisory board there. And as part of that commitment, we look at all of the different topics that we're going to be discussing, subjects, presentations, etc., the content for the event. And I've been tasked with filling the content for one of those sessions. So among the discussions of the different members of the advisory board, we hit upon the idea of a rapid fire case studies idea, whereby commonly asked affiliate marketing questions such as how do I work out what tenancies to pay, or how do I control voucher code usage, could be answered through a series of micro case studies. As part of that discussion, we thought it'd be great to open it out to anyone in the industry to submit their ideas and present them on the day. The great thing about this is it gives people the opportunity to share best practice without having to shoulder a full session. We also want to ensure this slot is an opportunity for new speakers as part of the wider industry initiative that we're all kind of pushing, which is to drive more diversity amongst the speakers. So if you are interested in finding out more, we have a handful of speakers drawn from across the industry, hopefully committed already, but we have a couple of slots available. Please drop me an email, kevin.edwards@awin.com, and I will be in touch. Right, that's enough from me. Let's bring Craig in to talk about a subject that's very close to his heart. So as a network, rather than build our own business intelligence tool, we took the decision 7 or 8 years ago to actually make use of Tableau, which is still considered at the cutting edge of BI. So we know that data is the key to demonstrating the value of the affiliate channel, something that brands have challenged us on for years. And therefore, having tools to help you make sense of the millions of rows of data we capture annually is essential. Craig, you recently attended the annual Tableau conference, and I wondered if you could shed some light on some of the themes that emerged from this year's event.
Yeah, so the Tableau conference is held annually. They have one in the US, and then they have one in Europe. The one in Europe, it kind of rotates between London, and it was in Berlin this year. No, it's back in London next year. It's basically it's for you know, lots of potential Tableau customers, but also existing ones. And Tableau recently got just to say the size of Tableau actually now, it just got purchased by Salesforce for I think $16 billion, so it is a huge company. So the actual event itself is also huge, and they have lots of different kind of classes on using Tableau and things like that. But one thing that's always big for us is to go and see about what they're bringing out and what they have brought out. So one of the things they've brought out, for example, is new vector maps, which means that visualizing location data has become far more advanced using that tool. And they've also released something called parameter actions, and I won't go to the detail of what that does, but what it will essentially allow us to do as a business is give clients more power in visualizing their own data using kind of bespoke set actions. And then finally, what they've brought out is something that is quite exciting, but they've not released it into the new version. It's coming out in the next one. It's in beta at the moment, which is their AI-based functionality. So they're bringing out more and more AI-based functionality now. And this is called Explore Data. So it's basically where you could click on any report and click on a button, and it would actually analyze that data for you.
Okay.
Thus, coincidentally, removing the jobs of about 30% of people in the room at the time. But everyone did think it was quite good. I did think it was really good.
So as punishment for saying AI, you have to talk a little bit more about actually how that's used on a practical level.
Okay. Yeah. So AI, as I think many people will know, is used as kind of a buzzword rather than a technical term a lot of the time when people are talking about AI tools. There's a big difference between AI and automation, which is never really explained. What this tool they're doing is actually going into the data set and doing it's trying to perform the action of a human, which is essentially what AI is. Like, where automation is, you are just, you know, improving the efficiencies of a process to the point where it is automated. For example, they already have a function called Ask Data, which you can ask a data source a question, and it will build a graph to give you the answer.
How reliable is that? Is that kind of like an evolving thing?
It's an evolving thing.
It's getting better.
It depends on the size of your data set, so how functional it is. But yeah, I think it's a really good tool, because effectively, if you could imagine someone being able to type, how many sales did I make this week? And then it would give you a total, and then you would say by country, and it would build you a map, and it would show you where on that map you made those sales. And that's the kind of thing they move to, is basically kind of you ask something and then build it. And then obviously from that, you would just actually be able to ask it in person eventually, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Build some Alexa app or something, I don't know. But yeah.
So, I mean, I know that we've obviously had quite a few discussions around how reporting can really elevate certain programs, but also really help account managers. So in particular, we launched an internal report, which is available to brands via, I guess, their account managers at Awin, which is based around almost like a recommendation engine. So a couple of like practical examples that can you give us?
this is where we've, as a company, we've really focused a lot of our energy around data, is democratizing that data. It's a term that's been used actually for quite a few years in the BI world. But essentially, like, a lot of companies now want to be able to give their everyday employee the tools and training to be able to analyze that data themselves. So effectively, we've provided, you know, all our account managers with access to a much larger data set, which is kind of functional. So the trouble you have with large data sets, obviously, is it's not usable all the time because it's slow, but we've built a cube, which effectively allows account managers to now use a lot more data and analyze a lot more data themselves. Now, what you talk of with the internal report, that's a publisher recommendation tool that we've released internally, which allows, basically, if you were going to run a campaign in a really niche sector or really broad sector, so you could be as broad or niche as you want. Say, like, you wanted all sneaker sites or gardening sites, or even sites on our network that perhaps, you know,
sell suits,
yeah.
Wedding suits,
specifically. You could actually type that into this engine and it would find you not only the publishers, but it actually also, we've built a tool which you can then rank those publishers based on our own versions of a metric. So they would have, you could have a score, basically, where you would say, what is the publisher that signed up to the most programs, or what is the publisher that has the highest AOV? And it does that based on a number of different elements, which filters out some of the smaller publishers that you might not want to work with.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting times, because I mean, that's very much the direction of travel of BI tools now, isn't it? They're very much kind of, they're becoming learning machines.
Yeah.
And in theory, hopefully, it will free up account managers' time, so they're not kind of having to pull these very manual reports.
Yeah.
So they kind of frees up their time to kind of work on more interesting projects.
Well, I think that when we look at AI and when we look at, like, the future for affiliates and how do we implement AI, which is such a broad topic anyway, and machine learning is such a broad topic, how do we implement that successfully within affiliates? And a lot of people in the industry have ideas about where they see that going. Personally, I see, you know, AI as being, imagine a business, and this goes for any kind of business really, but imagine an AI tool being able to advise you on where to spend your money. And that's, I think, where it would go with most businesses. Because that's going to give the most value to businesses. And I think that applies to affiliates as well. We would probably use it in the idea of a publisher recommendation idea. Now, that's part of it. But actually, what about the AI tool then telling you what they would recommend you spend with that publisher? Or as a publisher, the reverse, what would you recommend asking that advertiser for in return? So there's lots of different areas it could go into, but from the crux of it is basically an advisory tool.
It's also, again, another big focus, which is a huge project, but one that you kind of get to almost this idea of like a data nirvana, which is essentially where you then say, well, actually, let's pull in lots of additional data sources as well. So it might be Salesforce data. You know, we're going to be talking to Mark later about single view, and it could be pulling in some of the attribution data alongside that as well to kind of create this almost Uber reporting set.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that as long as you empower employees within the business, within any business, to be able to use those tools, it will only get better from there.
Right? Yeah. And we've also, there kind of been ad hoc projects which have been really valuable. So the ITP example, whereby we knew that ITP was impacting a certain volume of our sales, but we weren't able to contextualize that what that was across thousands of brands with different statuses around their tracking, and pulling all of that data in and then being able to build out some modeling around that has kind of been instrumental in us being able to go to certain clients and saying, I think it's 130 this month, saying to them, well, actually, we know that you're probably not tracking X amount of revenue, and therefore, until you have match fit tracking, we're actually going to try and recoup some of those losses.
Yeah, exactly. And if you were to, you know, if you were to come to a client today and say, I've built you a tracking solution that only tracks 9 out of 10 sales, they'd laugh you out the room. You'd want one that tracked 10 out of 10 sales in the modern day, right? Sure. And I think with ITP, you know, that allows us to, you know, look at some clients that aren't necessarily tracking correctly and say, look, this is kind of the situation here. We're applying compensation until you're able to implement the right tracking. And with the ITP data, we're able to estimate exactly what that will be, or what we think that will be. And we're also able to then, as you say, isolate those clients and target them to try and get that sorted. And that will go on as well. As more and more of these things are released in the future, we will look at, you know, our the most robust tracking and actually getting that onto to everyone's, everyone's program.
Yeah. Well, if you're a brand listening who works with us, or a publisher, and you want to share your data, or you want to kind of talk to us about how you'd like to iterate out some additional data reporting, then we'd love to hear from you. We want to kind of help you demonstrate the value of your affiliate program beyond simple last click measurements. So do get in touch with us, as we'd love to hear from how you're using your data or any ideas you've got around data reporting. Thanks, Craig. Now for this month's interview. Mark Curlow is the CEO of ROI, an affiliate management agency that is making waves in the attribution space. Awin has recently partnered with ROI to offer single view to our clients, and Mark is here to talk more about the initiative. So Mark, you and I have been involved in affiliates for many years. I always remember ROI as an affiliate management agency. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of the business and how it's evolved?
Yes, certainly. We were actually the first affiliate management agency to open our doors back in 2004. We're actually 15 years old next week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. We started off by establishing principles for managing affiliate programs. What an affiliate program looked like then was massively different to what it looked like now. And what's really changed, I would say, especially over the last few years, is the channel's become very voucher, cashback, and content heavy. And as an agency, it became difficult to really prove our value when you're just looking at last click on a voucher code and cashback basis. We were obsessed with being able to help clients drive more sales, help them win, doing whatever it is they were trying to do. But that was really difficult to achieve without being able to prove what you were doing further up the click stream. Nobody else in the industry was really keen to sort of take the mantle. So we wanted to offer more performance services to clients. We've always been really innovative with the way that we create, I would say, ad units, tech products. So we set about doing it ourselves. We we worked out how we could prove the value of affiliate activity, and then we realised any activity further up the conversion path, and everything started from there.
So that kind of brings us neatly into the main topic that we're going to talk about today, which is the ROI product that we've partnered with you guys on to hopefully push out to more and more of our clients, which is SingleView.
Yep.
Which is an attribution solution. If you want to find out more, there's plenty of information on the AWIN and ROI websites. But I'm interested in, so you mentioned about you were finding it hard to justify your services because you didn't have the additional insight, or you were having to kind of struggle to justify certain affiliate types. So was that the penny drop moment? Was there, what was the decision behind your desire to kind of want to build an attribution solution?
The irony in that is we never wanted to build an attribution solution. It happened by accident. What we were obsessed with was proving the value of the channel and the traffic that we were driving. We were doing that. One day we were presenting a QBR back to a client showing all the value and what the traffic which we generated. And the client said, right, you're about 25% of my traffic. What about the other 75%? And we realized when we looked at our data logs that we actually had built a tracking solution which tracked everything all the way back to the first instance. And that gave clients a global view of all of their activity, whether it be paid or organic. What we then realized, which was really exciting, was as well as the converting journeys, which is what everybody looks at, is we then looked at the non-converting journeys, because if you think about it, only 2% of your traffic is converting, so 98% of it is non-converting. If you then build those journeys in and you have a look at everything holistically, you're almost able to create a baseline for a website, almost like a pulse. And then if you categorize all the traffic, which is what we were doing, you could say, right, it's like a giant fire hose going into a website. And I can say, this is my affiliate traffic. This is my PPC traffic. This is my social. This is my SEO. This is my email. If I turn off those elements of the fire hose, I can see what effect it has on the website. And that is how we measure incrementality, because we can measure the delta in between the standard baseline and the effect that it would have on a website if I stopped sending that traffic. So, and that's how we were able to get to your sort of light bulb moment, is to be able to say, hang on, I can actually prove the value here.
So you mentioned the I word, incremental. What does it actually mean to you?
Incrementality to us means, can we prove that an action was caused by a previous event? So if we had a keyword, if we have an ad unit, if we have an affiliate, if they are in the journey, can we prove that they have driven either a positive or, to be fair, a negative impact on the conversion process? And therefore, we know, because we know every single transaction which is driven, I can actually say Publisher A has directly contributed to 6 transactions, and I know that they've been able to be worth half of them or whatever the percentage is, and we're able to actually say, this is what we've spent, this is what they've delivered on an attributed incremental basis, this is how much we would recommend you invest with them.
In terms of attribution, from conversations that I've had over the year with clients, I think a lot of people, again, in the way that incremental means different things to different people, attribution means different things to different people. And I think that people's eyes tend to roll when you talk about attribution, because it's a topic that is often talked about, but very often there aren't solutions, or people don't have solutions or actions that they can take from attribution. I've seen it used as a way of deduplication.
Yep.
Within the affiliate channel, which we've always pushed back against. You know, you can have a deduplication policy, that's not an attribution policy.
No.
How is what you offer from an attribution point of view, how is that different to kind of what else is out there in the market?
Well, I suppose what you're talking about there is deduplication. We've seen those sorts of initiatives take place before. That's in-channel attribution. So if we have a look within the affiliate channel, what's happening? Is this affiliate? The only way to truly attribute is to use one cookie. and it gives you one cookie to rule them all, one global perspective, one set of sales which match your back end. So you know what you've sold as a retailer. You know you've got one dashboard which matches it. So you're not looking at different reports which tell you that you've driven 150% of what you know you've driven. If you've got one cookie giving you a single view, like that, don't you? That's how you're able to measure the true incrementality. You can't do it within channel.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that we struggle with, because typically when we as a network are talking to brands, we're often talking to people that are, their solutions are often quite removed from the affiliate channel. Yeah. And so when they talk about affiliate to us, we've seen it in the past with brands that have gone out and commissioned companies to do research for them.
Yep.
And it can be like a broader digital initiative whereby they're saying, right, how can I prove the value of email or paid social or paid search? And affiliates gets lumped together as one whole channel. And as we know, affiliates is very diverse. There's a huge amount of variance between what a cashback site is, what a content site is, what paid social, all of those things, that all of those elements that we know make up a kind of a broad, diverse affiliate campaign. How important is it that your solution makes reference, that pays attention to those different elements?
I suppose I'll answer that by telling you what the high level insights that I could share. I've been looking at affiliate data now, attributed affiliate data for 2.5 years. We've tracked literally millions of impressions, clicks, and transactions. The high level, I would say, is we know affiliates overstated as a last click channel. I would say on average, you're looking at between, I would say, 15 and 20%. You will see the channel lose on an attributed basis. So that's the first thing. And I suppose it's slightly painful, but we all know it exists. What's really interesting is when you then have a look at ROAS, the affiliate channel, I would say on average, delivers twice the ROAS of paid search. Mm. So yes, it loses on a last click basis, but it's really, really strong. You then drill down and you then start to have a look at what happens within, if we just create three buckets, cashback, content, and voucher. Cashback, generally speaking, is strong. I would say that tends to hold out very well. What's really interesting is when you start doing paid tenancies and different levels of investment than just pushing deals out, you can see some really interesting incremental benefits coming there, because you start to get new customers coming onto your program. Content's really, really interesting, because we can actually prove content publishers, which on the face of it, on a last click basis, don't look like they're remotely washing their face, but so many will start journeys which they never finish. They get finished by SEO, they get finished by paid search, they get finished by whatever. That's really an area to focus on. And I would say what we've done some interesting work regarding voucher code is, how do you actually set an optimal voucher code strategy? Is that, whether that be media investment or whether or not that be the actual amount which you're rebating back to the consumer.
It's interesting you talking specifically about putting some of these things into action. I want to come on to talk about some of those things a little bit later. Can kind of give some practical examples about how you've actually been able to roll out strategy that's been enacted by your clients. But before we come on to that, going back to the kind of the bones of the product. Within the white paper that you guys published, which explained some of the theory behind it, you talk about the Shapley model, which you use as a basis for how you've built the attribution solution. Can you give a little bit of an indication about why that was a good fit, and I suppose in a practical sense how it actually works when people kind of log into your system and they see the data? What are they actually looking at?
Yeah, sure. We chose to use a Shapley model to look at how different journeys and different channels influence sales, because Shapley is based on something called collaborative game theory. So the analogy, which and I'm definitely not the mathematician in the room, the analogy which we always use is if we're all in an escape room or breakout, there's four people in the room, and we've got a number of different tasks that we're trying to do. Different people are going to have different strengths at different tasks. You may be better at something which is solving a puzzle. Somebody else might be better at building a raft out of matchbox, matchsticks, or whatever it may be. And each person will get a score for their contribution to each different task. And that is exactly how collaborative game theory has been used and how our algorithm has learned to assign a score to how digital channels are driving users through. So, for example, if you've got a journey whereby a user starts searching with a generic, they then sort of go onto a website, they come back and do a brand search, they then have another look, and then they'll come back and sort of click through on an affiliate link. Using Allworld methodology, the affiliate would get all of that sale. However, we know that that PPC has had a significant effect, and we'll have a look within that at PPC research, PPC activation. The algorithm has spent a long time understanding the value of those journeys, and it will actually give an ROI to each point and separate out how much value is given to each particular point.
So in the analysis that you've done, and you make reference to this in the white paper as well, you show that conversion rate increases when affiliates are involved in multiple touchpoint journeys. How can you be sure that isn't just actually indicating cannibalization? Because you make reference to the fact that your model indicates that is a sign of incrementality, but how can you be sure that, for example, an affiliate isn't in a multiple touch point journey just kind of goal hanging, just isn't kind of waiting to convert the sale at the end?
Well, what we did was we collated all of the sales which had involved affiliates, and we actually statistically modeled what the average order values were and the conversion rate if an affiliate was not in the purchase process. And we actually were able to scientifically compare one data set which didn't have an affiliate in it, one data set which did have affiliates in it, and conclusively prove that if an affiliate is in the journey, there is a greater likelihood of a customer purchasing a product.
I think that a lot of people will kind of make assumptions based around what you've said. You know, there are always assumptions within the affiliate channel, cashback, voucher code, kind of very much primed towards the conversion. You know, that's probably a consequence of our business model anyway, in that, mm-hmm. you know, they only get paid, or affiliates only get paid for sales, and that conversely, content sites are being disproportionately impacted by last click model because they're seen as kind of earlier, they're appearing earlier in the purchase funnel. Have you kind of seen any insights? Have you kind of seen any kind of client data that's actually really surprised you?
In reference to?
Well, in terms of any kind of insights that you've gleaned from it that were really surprising. So to give you an example, you make reference to the elasticity of cashback, for example, which again is something with more engaged clients, they're really interested. You know, what's my sweet point? What's the point at which if I was to pay £10, £20, £30 for a sale, what's the impact of paying 10 versus 30?
It's really interesting to test that. In fact, we I think there's a case study which is referenced in the white paper whereby we did test the elasticity of cashback rates, and we doubled the rate, and it was quite a chunky amount which was passed back to the consumer. And we trialed it for a month, and it was actually fascinating because we were able to actually prove that when we doubled the cashback, we were driving higher levels of incrementality, and the affiliate channel grew overall than we would have seen without it.
So earlier this year, you published some research based on some of the activity you tracked through the platform. But what did you learn about the role affiliates play specifically compared to other digital channels?
That's an interesting question. We learned that affiliates aren't really introducers into the sales funnel. We learned that
If an affiliate is in the journey, there is a greater propensity to convert. And we learned that affiliates, from an ROI and return on ad spend basis, is the most efficient channel advertisers can use. There is definitely a role for affiliate. They are definitely part of the purchasing ecosystem, but you've got to look at all channels in the round. You can't just look at cookies and what they're reporting independently.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier about some practical examples, some practical case studies of how brands have actually taken this data. I think it's, you know, we're all familiar with the fact that we very often make recommendations, we very often do number crunching, provide data insights, and then that somehow fails to translate into kind of practical steps that brands take to actually optimize their activity. Can you give us, are there any kind of examples that you can give of where you've been able to present some of your data from single view to a brand and they've gone, do you know what, we're going to make this fundamental change to our affiliate program, and it's really expedited some really interesting developments?
I absolutely can, Kev. At the end of the day, we didn't directly set out to build an attribution platform. What we wanted was effectively a planning tool which gave a better view of the truth. No one can actually give a perfectly attributed model. We can just give less wrong models. So we've got a system which is a tool built by traders for traders, and in order to do that, we have to live or die by the media campaigns and the trades which we do. So it's not just about pushing information out there saying, yeah, we think you should spend more on cashback. It's about actually sort of saying within the platform, we've identified that X publisher is delivering more value than we believe. Therefore, if we invest more with said publisher, what's it going to drive? We've actually recently released a case study with one advertiser who uses the platform, Tires on the Drive. They've identified within their affiliate campaign, using data-driven modeling, 17% increase in attributed revenue, 41% increase in incremental value, 17% decrease in commissions which they're paying, and a 42% uplift in ROAS. So collectively, you've got an advertiser there who actually is spending slightly less, is driving more sales, is getting better value, and is getting a far better return on investment. And we see those examples day in, day out.
I mean, it's an interesting example. Very, very often when we talk about attribution, we talk about it from an advertiser point of view.
Yeah.
However, there's obviously a clear value for publishers being able to better understand their data. And very often, I think that's the missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
In that brands want to understand how to work better with their publishers, but publishers very often don't necessarily have the data or aren't willing to share the data. So how do you have any future plans to want to work more closely with publishers to help them take more control over their data?
Yeah, we do. In fact, that's something I'm hugely excited about. Part of what's been really exciting about working with Awin on this project is that we've been able to integrate within the master tags. So we've been able to preload within an advertiser master tag so that effectively, we just get switched on in the back end, and the client doesn't need to do anything, which is really, really attractive. Because as we all know, getting tags live, implemented, QA'd, it's a horrendous process. In exactly the same way, we've also become embedded within the publisher master tag. So what we've done some really exciting work, which means that when a publisher is running a link containing an AWIP publisher ID, Single View will automatically sniff it out and will be able to have a look at the publisher's contribution to the overall journey. And we'll be able to do that on a post-click and a post-impression basis. So we're looking to get some beta tests away with key publishers. Conversations are already ongoing. We're about to switch them on, whereby we're able to match publishers to specific advertisers and trial campaigns, which effectively will mean that if the publisher can recognize more of the value which they're driving, they're able to earn more on a performance basis. They'll then give more inventory to an advertiser. The advertiser's happy because they're incrementally growing, they're driving more revenue. It really is one of those real win-wins.
Great. So Just drawing to a close now, but obviously if we've got any clients listening, how can they find out more about Single View and how they can potentially run it on their programs?
Well, in the first instance, talk to your AWIN account manager. We work very close with all the account managers, so they're all very much up to speed on it. Or go and have a look at our site, singleview.media.
Great. Very much looking forward to working more closely with you guys to get more data out so we can build some more reports and hopefully push out some really interesting case studies over time. So thanks to Mark for taking the time to tell us a little bit more about Single View. And if you'd like to get more detail on the product and how it can help you, then please do reach out to your network contact who can supply you with more information. Before we go, a couple of reminders and updates for you that you might be interested in. So Affiliate Summit East kicks off in New York on August the 11th for 3 days of industry networking, talks and meetings, and Rob will be out there alongside numerous members of our US team. He'll be up on stage on Monday afternoon at 2:15 on Track B, where he'll be speaking to Tricia Mayer, who's the executive director at the US trade body, the Performance Marketing Association. The PMA have just released the very first US industry survey, which details the scope and scale of the affiliate channel out there. And Rob will be asking Tricia about the report's findings and insights. We'll be capturing audio from that session. We'll hopefully be able to bring you some of that in next month's episode. Finally, don't forget to check out our almost weekly AWIN Thoughts pieces on the website. This month, we've looked at the topic of brand loyalty within the affiliate channel and also diversity. As always, if you'd like to contact us, you can reach us on our dedicated podcast email address, which is awintalks@awin.com. That's all we've got time for in this month's episode, and we'll be back in a few weeks with another edition of AWIN Talks. And if you like what you've heard on this episode, then please do give us a 5-star rating or review in the App Store or wherever you get your podcasts.